Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Brother Hunter, are you there? Hello, Brother Hunter. Hello, Brother Hunter. It's a Wednesday night. We didn't have a problem.
Hey,
Brother Hunter, you got a bad echo. You got a bad echo in the background.
All right.
Very bad echo. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, Charles. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Who am I talking with?
This is Sister Valerie. Pastor Hunter just muted because of the noise in the background. But you're okay, so go ahead and get started.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Valerie.
Okay.
I won't be long tonight. I don't talk long anyway. I want to talk about loyalty tonight. That's a word that's been around for a long time, but it's used and it's misused a lot. According to what I read about loyalty, it means it's a strong feeling of support or a strong feeling of allegiance to someone or something. That is in the background again. That sounds bad. If we are loyal people, and as Christians, we should be loyal to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and loyal to anyone else who is loyal to them three. Did you hear the word? Anyone else who is loyal to those three. Not just with lip service, but in their actions and their deeds. There's a lot of Christians want to be Christians, say they're Christians with their lips, but their spirit and their deeds they do says another thing. They want to be Christians. They want to be politically correct at the same time. And I've talked about this before. You can't be that. You just can't. Call yourself a Christian, and you go be politically correct. They don't go together. And I've seen it in my family. The family I was born into, I've seen in a whole lot of families. You see it in America because we have someone in our family that want to be someone other than what God created them to be. We don't want to hurt their feelings. So we want to be politically correct. And we say the right thing. Not doing it, but say it because it makes them feel better. In the wrongness that they do, their self-inclusion. A lot of preachers preach out the pulpit, we must include the homosexuals, the gays, the lesbians, the LGBTs, we must include them. But no, we don't have to. If you stay in with God, if you stay in with Jesus, if you stay in with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to. Who are you loyal to? If I would have a topic, that would be what it be. Who are you loyal to? You loyal to the world? Or you loyal to Jesus? If you're loyal to Jesus, you're loyal to the Father. If you're loyal to Jesus, you're loyal to the Holy Spirit. So where does your loyalty lie? Is it true? Every time something awful that happened in America, if you take a poll, there's a lot of confessed Christians with their lips in the United States. Right now, the last time I took count, it's been years ago, it was over 250 million confessed Christians in the United States. In the last 10 years, it's been more acts passed to support the gays and the lesbians and the LGBTs and every degenerate person out there than it is to protect a black man. That's just the truth of it. So where are the 257 million confessed Christians? Where are we? A small percentage of the United States, those LGBTs, lesbians, and gays control the United States. A very small percentage. The next thing they got going for the Supreme Court, I had checked on a lady because it's just so disgusting. They want to be identified as a totally different ethnic group. They said God made it this way. They lying. God didn't do that. My Bible teaches me everything God made was good. Everything he made was good. Created a form, the shape, whatever was good. And he says it in Romans, the first chapter. That mess is an abomination to him. So it's not good in the eyesight of God. So God didn't create this mess, mankind did. But you want to blame it on God. He made me this way and I'm happy. Do you know the main reason I walked away from the United Methodist Church? Number one, they started teaching that hell wasn't real. Two, they was teaching that the devil wasn't real. And number three, when they came out with inclusion of the LGBT, the gays and the lesbians, we have to include them. I said, that's that. I can't be a part of wrongs. It's wrong. And it's more ordained women that's gay, lesbians, it's more ordained men that's gay, and they say, I'm United Methodist and proud of it because God created me this way. You're lying. You're lying. That's just as simple as I can put it. That's the biggest lie ever been told. I've told you how you got here. Told you how you got that way. You don't believe because I'm a country boy with an accent. You don't believe me. At the time of conception, and God showed me this, here's just the plainest of nose on my face. King David said that we were shaped and formed in iniquity, conceived and shaped and formed in iniquity. At the time of conception, some fallen angel or some demon attached itself to the egg, and that's how you got that way. God don't make mistakes. He's perfect. Perfect in all his ways, in all his things, all his thoughts. Anything you do is perfect. So quit lying on God. Where are your loyalties? It can't be with Christianity. Talk the way it's practiced now. I don't identify with Christianity. I identify with the Christ, my Lord and Savior, but not with Christianity. The Christians, the people that make up Christianity, I don't identify with them as a whole. I don't. I don't want to be a part of that mess. You hear me talking about I live a monastic lifestyle, a recluse, basically. I do. I withdrew from the world. The world got so corrupt and evil, and you got these quote-unquote men and women of God building their churches on that inclusion. Inclusion. You got men sitting in the audience with little girls as their wives or their significant other, and little boys as their significant other. You got rapists there, child molesters, LGBTs. You got some married to animals there. Are we included in Christianity? They're Christians too. That's a lie. That's a lie. Christian means to be crystallized in Christ. It's basic definition, Christ-like. Jesus stood in the Father and on the Father and around the Father. That's how I am. I'm with Jesus. I'm with the Father. I'm with the Holy Spirit. I don't have to include nobody. Just not trying to live that lifestyle the way the Bible lays it out. That's how I was growing up, that's how I was guided. I don't have to include nobody that's not trying to live that lifestyle. Now, you heard me talk along these lines before, but this is what I was given to talk about tonight. Because it's disturbing. Very disturbing. But the main man in America, I won't call his name, but he said it on a national talk show, his family comes first. And the woman asked him, wait, you're supposed to be a man of God. One of the most well-known men in the world of God. And you said, what? He said, my family comes first. And y'all know who I'm talking about. T.D. Jakes. He got a son that's been called so many times to trying to buy undercover sex with one of the co-officers. So to protect his family, he includes that he's building a church around them now. People like his son. Including it. If you study the Bible, they got nowhere unless they dare to repent, confess and repent, and reborn again. They got nowhere on God's program. They can't be the head of this committee, that committee, nothing. That's Bible I'm talking, not me talking, that's Bible. I include the whole Bible, the old and the new. To put it together, you got the complete word. I don't have to include nobody that's not doing what God said that we're supposed to do. It's the gender we're supposed to be. I was created a male, a man, and I'm going to live as such. Think I'm a woman in my head. I know I'm a man. I know this for a fact. I have no other thoughts about anything else except being a man in God, a born-again Christian. Those are the only thoughts that's in my head and doing everything I can to help usher in the kingdom daily on a daily basis. I talk to Preacher Hunter a lot, a whole lot. And I've told him this on several occasions. He'll tell you I have. As long as you continue to uplift Jesus, uplift God, uplift the Holy Spirit, I'll be with you until God separates us. But the day you stop, this day I'm going to have to leave. My loyalty is lying with those three as long as you uplifting them, not self or family, but those three. And I told them these words too. I'll do everything I can within my financial means to support you. And I do. I'm with Brother Hunter to the end. Either he ends it or God ends it. That's where my loyalty is lying, with him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Joshua studied under Moses for 40 years. 40 years, and then look what he did by listening to his teachings, waiting his turn. He took the promised land. Took it. Loyalty. Where do your loyalty lie? Everybody wants to be. Jesus taught us many members, one body. The smallest toenail on the foot is the little toe. That little toenail is just as important as the mouth or the tongue or the eyes or the ears or the nose. It's just important. Loyalty. But don't nobody want to wait to turn. Don't nobody want to wait to turn. Y'all want to be the one that's out front speaking. Recognize it's the leader of this, the leader of that. Wait your turn. Look what the Elijah's did. By waiting his turn, he got a double portion of Elijah's anointing when his mantle fell on him, a double portion. By waiting his turn, Joshua took the promised land. by being loyal to David, Jonathan, King Saul's son. But his loyalty lies with David, knowing that he and Jonathan knew his father wasn't right. He accepted what Prophet Samuel had told him, that anointing has been taken away from you, but give it to another. He accepted that. Joined at the hip with David. Loyalty. Years ago, Bear Bryant was playing the LSU in Death Valley. I think that's what they call it, Death Valley in the LSU. And LSU had just stoned him. Bear Bryant was leading the nation in rushing Alabama up. And the reporter asked him, said, "What you gonna do, Bear?" Look like they got you. He said, "I'm gonna dance." This is what he told him. With the girl that brung me. The reporter didn't understand it. So at halftime, he's going back on the field. He said, "Bear, what does that mean?" He said, "Running got us here. I'm gonna continue to try to run the football. I'm not gonna change because they're gonna stop us the first half. They will be bigger on offense, they are on defense, and if we keep pounding at them, something's gonna break. And it's gonna be them, not us." Sure enough, last part of the third quarter, they start breaking runs for 5 yards, 7 yards, 10 yards, and finally 6 to 7 yards. Just boom out the second half. Side. Loyal to the run. Whether you're loyal to fly. This will be God. This will be Jesus. Holy Spirit. Who? Find someone that's representing those three to the three, which is one, three and one, the same mission. Find someone that's loyal to those, true loyalty. Not only lip service, but true loyalty to those three. Join yourself at the hip with. This is what I've done with Brother Hunter. I have. Every day, he calls me several times a day and drops the nuggets of gold. A little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. That's how I'm going to get my training. I'm going to go finish up. He's the one that's finally going to do the polishing to this rough diamond, go shape it, form. I've learned a lot in my lifetime, but I need to be taught how to do this, how to do that a certain way, a certain way. I'm going to dance with the girl that broke. God put us together on the second floor in the VA hospital at the same time for a reason. Doors that had been open and closed to me since 1973. Brother Huntington told you on the news, I mean, he told people this, that he told God, "I don't know nothing about this man." But God told him these words, "You don't, but I do. I need it." Brother Hunter called me up the next day and told me that. And by him accepting me, being obedient to God, he'd open up same doors that was closed all these years. He'd open them up for me at the VA hospital, knowing if he don't know how to do it, he can put you in contact with the right person. And I'm going to get my blessing. God promised me in 2010. I'm going to get that big blessing. He said, "I'll bless you more in your later years than I did in the rest of it. Just be faithful. No matter what happens, you be faithful." And I've done that. If I live long enough to see it, I got a big blessing coming up, a big lump sum of money. And I done told Brother Hunter, "I'm going to give a big portion of that to help do what we want to do. We got the same mission, the same thing we want to do for the old bed." They laid on his spirit and my spirit. We talk about the same thing, doing the same thing. But that's why we're together. I'm going to dance with the girl that brung me. God led me to Brother Hunt. So that's where my loyalty is at. As long as he keeps saying, I'm going to say it again. Uplifting God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. That's where my loyalty is at. So in saying that, I give to Brother Hunt. Whosoever's going over the line, sir. I thank y'all for listening. I mean, I'm going to give you my own load.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Yes, sir, I hear you.
All right, then. Yeah. Well, we still got permission to the phone, but what I'm going to do is...
They're close to the background, Brother Hunter.
I know it.
Brother Hunter, are you there? Brother Hunter?
Well, sound like I hit a horn. Hello, how you doing, Charles?
I'm doing all right. Yes, ma'am, I hear you.
Amen. Well, praise God. I was trying to hear if Dr. Hunter was on as well, because it sounded like I heard the horn blowing and I didn't want to speak.
Well, what did you think about it? Loyalty.
Wait, it may not be your time yet. Some people want to run ahead. And we have to wait our turn. Don't get in a hurry, because whatever God has for you, whatever he promised you, whatever he know the ending from the beginning, and whatever he has, you're going to get it. You just have to wait. And then, you know, another thing I was telling somebody else, you have to be willing to be taught. You can't always teach. You got to, because if you're not able to be taught anything, there's a problem, because nobody knows it all. We learn from one another. We learn from one another. And so we have to wait our turn. Like you said, Elijah, he got a double portion. By sticking with Elijah, he got a double portion. And sometimes to get a double portion, we have to wait our turn and be willing to be loyal and wait our turn.
Amen. Those are some beautiful words. Very beautiful words. That was Sister McClinton, right?
Truly enjoy. I'm sorry, it was on mute, but I'm truly enjoyed the message. Truly enjoyed it, because as you said, wait your turn. And I knew Dr. Hunter had a radio station, and I could have said, "Hey, Dr. Rich out to him," but I waited my turn. And as I was praying, that's how we connected. We both was praying. So I enjoyed the message. That is wonderful. I really appreciate you bringing that up.
Hi, this is Sister Valerie, and I was listening to Brother Charles and the passion that he spoke with about loyalty. But I'm going to piggyback off of some of the things that you said, Brother Charles. Because as you were speaking, I was really just thinking about the Lord. I was thinking about the thief that was on the cross with Jesus, because he lived his life in such a reckless way, and as Jesus hung between two thieves, there was one that actually acknowledged him in such a way that it was mockery, saying that, telling our Lord that, basically, if you're who you say you are, why don't you call for the angels to come and get you down off of this cross? And then this other thief was there saying, we deserve what we got, but this man did nothing. And he just had a conversation with Jesus. He said, just remember me when you get into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. That man didn't ask him to forgive him. He just asked him to remember him. And Jesus, I'm reminded that he looks at the heart of people. And the most common scripture in the Bible, probably the very first one that we learn by heart, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. When I got a revelation of how God loved the world, he made some of the greatest things, or the greatest people, were developed in the dark. Those that were lost, those that was broken. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. The message of the gospel is repent. Not just for a group of people, but for all people. And he said, and Brother Charles said, and this is so true, that we are born in sin and shaken in iniquity. Can confess that we're Christians, or we'll confess that we're something else, and we can go through a whole life of doing what is good, helping people, loving people. And what happens is, at the very end, when we lose our way, it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. all sin an abomination to God. But he said that there was only one that he would not forgive, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. All men, all creation, if they have breath in their body, it's not over till God says it's over. Man looks at the outward appearance, but it's God that looks at the heart. I know people who have confessed many things or believe in many things. They're not without hope. Doesn't mean that I agree then, but guess what? I don't agree with mine either, because God is looking at the heart. Don't think yourself more highly than you ought. Jesus Christ was acquainted with grief. He suffered many things, betrayal, denial from his own people. He was sought after, but he felt our pain. There's a lot of things in this world that I just don't understand. And when I talk to God about it, like when I'm trying to do my best, even people that I love, the people that are closest to you, because they're familiar with you. They know your past. They know who the life you used to live. Or they never see you as a chosen person of God, but you're just who they were accustomed to growing up with, playing with, fighting with, sinning with. That's who they remember. Until the change comes, until they themselves get a taste of the liberty and salvation of Christ. But this is a journey we're on. Every day is a new journey. I look at people on the news sometimes, and I saw this woman. Her son was murdered. Stood before the cameras, grieving for her son. But she cried out, wanting justice. But she said, I forgive them. Change of heart. And only God can change a heart. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. We can look at the outward appearance of a person, but we don't know the why a person is the way that they are. If they're different than we appear to be, only God knows. That's why you say, judge not, lest ye be judged. He's the judge. He commissioned us to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come to a loving God. Teach them. But it's God who pours in the oil of love, who brings deliverance, who sets the captive free. And many people are bound, sin and iniquity. Many people are bound in hurt and pain. And so when we talk about the church and the assembling together of people, that's the building. The church is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, you and I, who have opened our hearts and have allowed the Lord Jesus to baptize us with fire. We're the carriers of the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God rests on the inside of us. God has allowed me to come across people from different countries, different races, different genders. I visit the prisons. I visit death row. And I meet men there. Some say they're Muslims. Some say they are Buddhists. Some say they're Christians. Some say they're spirituals. Some say they don't believe in God at all. They struggle with why God would be so merciless. And there's no justice for them. Because some are incarcerated who are innocent of the crime that they were committed of. But I treat them all the same. Because I'm not their judge. God is their judge. Some are guilty. And they have a repentant heart. And they haven't found the God, or they don't know the God that we serve. Commission is to compel them, to disciple them. They will know that you are Christians by your love. Deny yourself is what our Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. There were lepers that were around when Jesus walked the earth. Those that were put out of the camp, those who men would not have any dealings with at all because they had leprosy. But Jesus touched and he healed. See, sin is a form of leprosy. There's no sin so great that God cannot heal. Whether a person is whatever they call themselves to be, can't talk about one sin without talking about all sin. Not liars, murderers, fornicators, adulterers, covetousness, unforgiveness. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he's so faithful. This journey that we're on is all about him. It's not what we think. It's in whom we believe. Whether you're alcoholic or adulterer or backslider, as long as there is breath in your body, and as long as you have not fixed your mouth to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, as long as God is still extending his mercy and his kindness, even in his anger, he said, if you would turn back, if you would just come back to me, if you would confess your sin, that I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and to wash you and cleanse you of all iniquity. And many of us confess our sins and go right back to committing the same sins until we cry out from the very depths of our soul, God, here I am. Save me. Deliver me. I don't want to be the same, God. Transform my life. Because, God, only you can set me free. You, Father. Oh, my judge. You, Father, are the breath that I breathe. You're my hope. You're my strength. You are a burden bearer. Jesus, you bore a cross for me. And when you decided that it was time to give up your spirit, your words were for God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you said, it is finished. I bore the sin, and I nailed them to the tree. All those, Father, that you have given me, I promise you, that I will not lose you one. The battle is not over until we take our last breath. There's an old saying that the old people used to say. Well, some of us are old now, but you can win over a fly with honey than you can with vinegar. All we have to do is be the face of love. Walk in love, not with some, but with all. Doesn't mean that we agree with sin. Doesn't mean that we agree with wickedness and evil in the earth. It just means that we believe in a loving Savior who commands us not to be an offense, but to be a repairer of the breach, to build a path where people can find their way back to him, back to the Creator. Remember the story of the potter, and with the clay. And he made vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. He made vessels of gold and some of brass. But all things were created by him. and for his glory. Do we understand it? I don't understand it. Because he also tells us to be holy as he is holy. He tells us we love him. We will keep his commandments. And even those who follow after him and love him don't always get it right. Don't forgive their trespasses. We have no right to.
Hello, I can't hear anything either. I'm here.
Okay. Well, I appreciate everything that was said in support of the show tonight. Thank you for your faithful sisters, the brothers and the sisters on the line that didn't participate. I thank them anyway. But as always, there's some faithful sisters on the line, always there. And I'm very appreciative of it. I hope someone got something out of the message tonight. I hope someone got something out of the comments tonight, they'll say. Some beautiful comments was mentioned tonight. I really hope that we in this together, whether we know it or not, we're supposed to be in this together. Is there anyone else?
Yes, this is Cynthia. Hi, Charles. How you doing? How is everybody this evening?
I'm doing all right, Sister Cynthia.
That's good. I love your topic that you're speaking on loyalty, and also on your topic that your passion. Let me just start with the loyalty because that's on my mind right now. Your passion for loyalty to walk in God's way and to continue to walk and be teachable under Dr. Hunter, where he has you right now, is awesome. And that level of what I hear you expressing as far as loyalty is concerned, if we all would be that loyal to God, you know, because I know your loyalty is first to God, but if we would all be that loyal to God, and then secondly to the respective areas, meaning if you are married, wife to husband, husband to wife.
Amen.
To your families, you know, parents to children, children to parents, and so on and so forth, and to your jobs. When you have a job, you know, the employer and the employee, if we would all walk in that loyalty that you're speaking of so passionately and so humbly, I think God would really be pleased with us. And I think that we would avoid a lot of the problems that we encounter because of our lying tongues and disloyalty, being sneaky, being conniving, being overbearing, and just all the other things that we can be when we are not being loyal, or we're not being a good loyal person, because, you know, you can be loyal in a negative way as well.
Amen.
You know, even gang members are loyal. You know what I mean?
Amen.
They're loyal to one another.
Yes, ma'am.
When they're doing something bad, I'm not saying all gangs are bad, because I don't know all gangs, but I'm just saying, you know, even people who we consider to be doing things they shouldn't. And even with you and Dr. Hunter being in the military, you know, y'all, it's ingrained in you guys to be loyal to the military. I know it's ingrained in you, and it's amazing the way you speak of it. I just think that sometimes we don't have that loyalty for the ones that are closest to us. You know, like sometimes you can have so much loyalty to your job, but then you don't have any loyalty to your wife or your children.
Amen.
Or your husband or your children or your parents. You know, they can raise you up, take care of you, spoil you, and you turn your back on them in a hot minute. You know, we have so much dysfunction sometimes. So that loyalty that you're speaking of, that's something I think we all want to try to attain and be, and have people be loyal to us as well as we be loyal to others. You know
what you mean?
You know, I just see it as a really beautiful thing, the way you speak of it, you know, and I just want to commend you and ask God to continue to order your steps in the way he would have you to go. And I would also like to pray and lift you up when they're done and they pray that those who are disloyal to you, that you have a heart that remains of flesh. Because there will be some people who will tempt you, tempt us, you know what I mean? And when you tend to be real loyal, if you get hurt by somebody you know you have been loyal to, that kind of rubs you the wrong way in so many ways, you know. So I would just pray that you can continue to have a heart of flesh and a forgiving heart when somebody come against you, knowing that God is taking care of it. You know, ask for all of us. Ask for all of us. And
amen.
I like what Sister Valerie was saying. Yes, Sister Valerie was saying it is so true. And talking about people who are with the same sex or bestiality, as you meant, with animals and so on and so forth, all of those different things that some may call perversions and so forth. We know what we have learned in the Word of God and what it means. You know what I mean? And
yes, ma'am.
It's a tough thing to deal with because now we're in an era where we're learning that we're supposed to love everybody no matter what. And like she said, we love the person, not the sin. And it's a touchy thing because there is, I guess for me, where the touchy part comes in is, like she said, you don't know some people's history. And, you know, the Bible even talks about some people, you know, when it talks about the eunuchs, or those who don't get married. Some people don't because they are made to be that way. When the eunuchs were male areas were cut, that wasn't because that's what they wanted, you know. That's what was done to them. So they lost that chance to bear children and be, quote unquote, a man that would be more aggressive or whatever you want to say, to all the things that people talk about with testosterone. They lost that ability to have that, so they became the ones who would be the caretakers of the harem, you know, take care of the women, but we ain't got to worry about it. We ain't going to mess with them because we can't, you know. So even with some people. Yeah, even with some people are molested. Some people are born with that type of desire. And some people, it's a spiritual thing, just like you would mention. Some people, it's a spirit because, you know, mama and or daddy was dibble-dabbling both ways. Babies become, you know, conceived, and boom, you got that spirit right there attaching itself to the child. You know, it's so many different ways, and I think it is important that we don't isolate people or treat people, you know, don't turn our love away from them, especially if there's somebody who may be coming to you who may want to be different. They may want to change, you know, and I think we have to be open to them. I think what would be the thing that would be challenging, I know, well, one thing that would be challenging for me is standing my ground and not condoning certain things. Like, for instance, there's people who condone their children shacking up with people in their house. If some people, they shacking up and they child shacking up, you know, and that's just what they do. You know what I mean? And that's not something that God condones. Now, that's you know, male and female, but then if it becomes a male and a male and a female, do we condone it and it's the same still shacking up and all of that? Do we condone that? I don't think for my position, I don't think you condone it either way. I don't think that because a person becomes grown that you automatically get to negate what God said. Oh, now you're 60 years old, so, oh, you know, you grown, you can do whatever you want. Well, you can in your house, but you don't get to come in my house and shack up because you're in town. You know what I'm saying? It's like we got to be careful because if we're gonna set a tone, we're going to have to go that way no matter who it is. Not because it happens to be a female, and a male, but how about it's because it's not male and female in marriage, period.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So,
yes, ma'am.
But that's me and what I understand and what I feel comfortable with and what I feel like God has put on my heart. Now, everybody else got to deal with what, you know, they understand the word to be and what God is speaking to them about. But I just think I understand that we just have to be careful with that. And I think we have to be more open to God helping us to love people but not to sin. It's not easy. Oh, it's not easy. You know, like I think you mentioned pedophiles and you mentioned you mentioned many other things. And it's like I was just thinking, man, if we went against those all those other sins, because there are some sins I can't deal with either. I can't deal with people who are pedophiles, you know, I don't like it, you know, or people who are beating women and so on and so forth. And if we really went up against all that, guess what? It wouldn't be nobody in the world we would be able to deal with because everybody has something they done did or they doing or they going to do.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what I mean? So,
yes, ma'am, I know exactly what you mean.
I'm sorry?
I know exactly what you mean, sister.
Yeah, so it's just, it's one of those things that's sticky. Now, what the other thing about it is, and you kind of mentioned it, I think, or I'm paraphrasing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you mentioned about those who are gay, lesbian, the different communities, how they're in different positions doing different things, and they're in leadership. And this is true. This is true. They are. And some of them are doing an excellent job in what they're doing. But where I have the problem is when you're recruiting. I have a problem when you're saying, I want to make all of Houston gay. We're working on all of Houston being bisexual gay. I got a problem with that. I got a problem when you're inviting a bunch of girls and or guys to a party and they're straight and they don't know that you're planning on raping them and making them gay. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with you trying to give people drugs and get them under the influence. Now, I'm not saying this is what officials necessarily are doing, but what I'm saying is the behavior of the group, of some group of people, and that's whether you're straight or you're gay. I don't like people giving, you know, people things under influence and then taking advantage of them and abusing them and so on and so forth. All those types of evils that come because of sin is all because of sin. So, that's when I have that rubs me the wrong way. You know, and some people who are in these positions are not just in the positions doing a great job just for the sake of it. Some of them are in there and they're recruiting and they're trying to turn people and doing certain things. And that's whether you happen to be of that community or you are heterosexual and you're trying to get people to cheat, mess around with somebody else, with somebody, all the indiscretions that you do, the under the table, messing with children, all that stuff, I'm in total disagreement with it. And I pray against it every day. So I just want to, you know, kind of mention a little bit about your topic. It was a very interesting topic. It was a very touchy topic. It was a topic a lot of people don't want to talk about. I'm glad you brought it up because it does need to be talked about. And it needs to be prayed about, and we need to learn how to elevate and elevate where God wants us to go as we deal with different people and one another. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for those beautiful words. Beautiful words. Heartfelt words. You feel it. All you sisters, I want to say this to you. Brother Hunter did some teaching the other week. And he talked about the 13 tribes. And God showed me tonight who he was talking about. He was talking about you women, your sisters, like you just made a stand, you just voiced your opinion about it. Sister Valerie voiced hers, someone else voiced theirs. Y'all are the 13 tribe, whether you know it or not. The women in God that truly serve God with their spirit, not with their lips. You're the 13 tribe. And he bought y'all along because his people he walked with and talked with on a daily basis, the men folks, they deserted him as a whole. But you women stood by him to the bitter end. You're the 13 tribe. I told Brother Hunter this the other day, and I think Sister McClendon was on the line. I said, when God called you women, y'all hit the ground running. You run headlong into what God wants y'all to do, and I'm very appreciative of that. There's a lot of men get their calling, but they're going to do like you women do. A woman was created, and I don't say this is male chauvinist now. Please don't look at it like that. To obey. That's one of the things that God placed more in her than he did a man. Y'all are just obedient. And you do what thus says the Lord. Now, are there some charlatan women out there? Sure it is. But there's a whole, most of the women out there, like I said, kiss the ground running. And it's going to be you women, the majority of them in the end is going to be women that stood by him to the end. Who's going to help Ursh in his kingdom? Not anybody else having a comments tonight? Hold on, are you there? I guess we'd be cut off again.
Maybe I'm still here. Maybe he'll come. He must be still there since we're still talking. Maybe his phone is.
Okay.
Give him another minute.
I had
go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead and see what you got to say. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I love for us to have a discussion at a later date about that word that you said, obey. That would be a great topic, but that'll probably take us all night. So whenever we get a chance, we'll have to talk about that. whenever we get a chance again.
Look at the obedient women in the Bible. Look at the obedient women in the Bible. Call Barak to do what he had to do to lead the church in Israel in a battle. Who did he go to? The prophetess Deborah. She said, now, if I do this here, what you want me to do? Say, God, oh, give me the glory, not you. Say, he wants you to have it, but I'll do it if that's what you want me to do, Barak. Say, I'll do it. And guess what? She even died in history. Like you said, God gave her the glory. There's a lot of the great women of the Bible. I had to book it one time, the Old and the New Testament, the great women. If some women did some mighty things for God, mighty things, but because it came from a male-dominant society, they were pushed aside during their times, basically. But now, since we can't
there
get along, women are getting credit for something they did 3,000 years ago. They're finally getting their just dessert now. Anyone else?
And you know what the thing about it is? That same thing is always going to be the one who's most powerful or the one who's most powerful. Because that happens also among races, the white and the black or whatever other race. The same thing happens. It happens, you know, as you already mentioned, male and female. It happens with countries, this country versus another country. It's so many ways, the rich and the poor. It's so many ways that we segment it and we break it down and we hold back one group of people versus another group of people and make them think that this is the way it's supposed to be or this is the way God wanted it to be. God wants you to be, you know, a slave. God wants you to be this, that, and the other just because of your gender or how you were born, you know, in some of the foreign countries, just you're born a girl and that's a sad thing, but you're born a boy, it's such a happy thing. You know, it's all wrong, our wrong perceptions and our wrong ideas and our wanting to be above everybody and keep everybody below us. We have all these different things that we do that ain't none of that God. Now, it does not mean that he don't have certain people that he has doing things, because he does. He does do that. But the things that we do is where the problem come in, and he uses who he wants whenever he wants, child, an older person, you know what I mean, male, female, black, white, just whatever. He does it, and he says he's going to what? Shame us. He's going to shame us. He's going to use the food to shame the wives. and we do get shamed. You know, because we got a little kid coming up in there telling us some wisdom, just like Jesus was in there. Of course, he was God, and Jesus, he's in there telling all these scholars in the temple. He's telling them stuff, and they can't understand. How he know this? Whose child is this? How would he know this wisdom? You know what I mean? So it's all those things that we have, these prejudices against one another, and the truth of the matter is God told all of us to obey.
Amen.
Each and every one of us.
Let me ask you a question, sister Cynthia.
Yes, sir.
The Catholic Church got involved in it. Mary Magdalena, she was known as a whore. They deemed her a whore, the Catholic Church did, a male-dominated society. She was known as a whore until they did that. Because you know why? Place she held in Jesus' group. From the studies I've done about Mary, she was a very wealthy businesswoman that supported Jesus financially, spiritually, any other way that she could support it. And they used to go away at night, and a lot of people, they was out there having sex. No, Jesus, she understood. Remember, on several occasions, the disciples that he walked with every day, the men folks, they didn't understand, and he used to have to say, y'all don't get it. I'm just paraphrasing now. Y'all don't get it yet. But Mary understood him completely.
Mm-hmm.
And he took her off to the side at night and taught her more openly than he could the rest of them. Seeing that special place that
I put everybody on mute so I can talk to everybody. We've had some issues tonight once again with the echoing, and so I was asking one of the sisters on there to close the line out. It was a great discussion tonight, but I've asked various ones, so I'm going to ask Dr. McClendon to close the line out, okay? God bless. I don't like all this echoing. Another issue. God bless.
Dr. McClendon.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to close us out tonight?
Oh, yes. I was just praying. I didn't know if y'all heard me or not, but I will close you out. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you, thanking you right now for allowing us to come together, Father, in your word, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to share, Father, to sharpen one another with the word, Father. We ask, Father, that each and every person that's on the line be blessed, Father, in your name. We ask that there become unity, more unity in God's word. Father, we ask that you draw us together for the benefit of the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, be blessed, everybody.
Amen.
Be blessed, everybody. Thank you, beautiful ladies.
Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you very much for the support. God bless you all.
God bless you all as well.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.